y'all. Thanks for tuning in to the November Exploring Cast. I'm Kristen Filatko, Senior Exploring Program Specialist. And joining me, as always, is Senior Boy Scouting Specialist Garfield Merton.
Now, here on Exploring Cast, we've talked about getting you ready for your post and club meetings with everything from career interest survey to planning and hosting your open house.
So this month, we're going to get right into the thick of things with planning your super activity. And joining us for our discussion is Katie Clark from the Three Harbors Council in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Katie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me with you guys today. I actually am the Director of Development here for the Three Harbors Council in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But I actually started my career in scouting at the age of 14 when I joined Aviation Exploring. And I have been a registered Boy Scout ever since then. I've been an exploring executive, an exploring director, and a learning for life director as well.
Wow, we are so happy to have you today, Katie. Thank you. So, what's the difference between a regular post or club activity and a super activity?
Sure. A regular activity can be done with a couple days of planning, a couple hours of planning, and they're done on a local level. A super activity is a major project. It's a major trip or a major event that has many different facets involving all different kinds of talents of your advisors and talents of the young people that are in your post.
Now, Katie, why have a super activity? What are the benefits?
Super activities are great for working with young people to learn long-term planning strategies. It's one thing to be able to throw a meeting together and have to worry about punch and cookies and location. It's another to have to arrange for transportation, food, equipment, are we meeting the rules and regulations? It adds a whole other level of opportunity to advance a young person's skills.
Who comes up with the idea of a super activity?
In general, posts get together and they do a survey at the beginning of the year. We would ask them what they wanted to do. Where do you want to go? Dream big. So it's usually the young people in the post that come up with the idea, and it's through a brainstorming session. Anything goes. It goes on the board, and then we knock down from there reality about what's possible. Traveling to the moon, probably not possible. But traveling to California or somewhere else like that, probably very possible. And so that's how the opportunities kind of arise and present themselves.
So, Katie, can you give us an example of some of the super activities that you're familiar with?
Absolutely. One that I'm most familiar with is we have a local explorer post here called the Aviation Exploration Base. We have an opportunity for explorer posts all over the country attend the Air Venture Air Show in Oshkosh in July every year. These posts work all year long to plan their trip, to provide fundraising, to get their tour permits ready, their transportation, to get their volunteers set up, and then they arrive in Oshkosh in July and they get hands-on experiences with their chosen career field of aviation. And then they meet people from all over the country and have a great time. In addition to that, many explorer posts also travel across the country for other super activities, like attending Philmont or Northern Tier Canoe Base up in Ely, Minnesota.
So, Katie, do super activities have to be career specific?
Absolutely not. They can be just about having fun. When you're part of an explorer post, you become part of a family, and sometimes you just want to go have fun or do something a group of people want to do together. So absolutely don't have to be career related.
That's great.
Yeah, that reminds me of during a time when I worked in Great New York Councils in New York City. We did a super activity, and it was council-based, dealing with a law enforcement explorer post. The idea was starting at 7 p.m. and ending at 7 a.m. and showing those explorers different locations all through the city. The idea was up all night. We took them to locations like the Empire State Building, the New York Times. We actually took them to a prison so they can see things that take place. Took them to night court.
That was a model that we actually used when I was working in Pittsburgh, and we did something very similar there. That's a great example.
So it sounds like there's a lot that goes into planning a super activity. So typically, how far in advance have you and others had to plan for a super activity?
It really depends upon the scope of your super activity. A minimum amount of planning would be a year in advance to get a date, to figure out where you're going, to figure out your equipment, your food, your lodging, what advisors are going with you, and then to be able to divide your group into committees and have all of your young people working with qualified advisors or other consultants to be able to make your trip possible. If you're heading to Europe or you're heading to Philmont, that may take a few extra months to plan. It may take a couple extra years to plan, depending upon the scope of your journey.
Right. It sounds like there's a lot of components there, and I know you're only one person, so who else might help you in this planning process?
As an explorer advisor, you have resources in associate advisors and committee members, and you would start by getting your young people signed up and interested in different facets of the trip itself, and then a different adult would take that group of young people and work with them on, let's figure out the budget, let's figure out our fundraiser, let's figure out where we're going to stay, let's make our arrangements for transportation, and so on. So you spread the projects out over smaller committees of people that can work together.
Since exploring posts are supposed to be youth-led, what should they be doing to prepare for super activity?
The Explorer Posts have a president and a vice president, and they take the lead and sit down and do an overall planning with their main advisor. And then from there, the young people stand up in front of the group and they say, okay, guys, everybody needs a part. These are the different committees that we have. You need to sign up. And they really lead it. They really get it going. The advisor's role is to get adult consultants and other advisors helping each one of those committees, each one of those smaller groups of young people, making sure that they succeed in their projects.
Oh, that's all good information. Katie, who determines what the safety risks are, and then who decides what the guideline is to avoid those particular risks?
Through the training that's given to every adult leader, we have youth protection guidelines, we have the Guide to Safe Scouting. All of those guidelines need to be met, which are very easily found on the website for resources. But also, a lot of it just depends upon good old-fashioned common sense. If it's something that parents are going to buy into sending their teenagers to go do, well, then it's probably very doable.
Now, in reference to resources, what are available to learn more about super activities?
Sure. There is a guidebook on the exploring.org webpage, and in that guidebook, there's an entire chapter. It's chapter 7, and they have a whole section on super activities, how to divide up your committees, some health and safety issues, insurance, tour permits, that kind of thing. So there's a couple pages of information there on some guidelines on setting up your super activity.
So I'm writing this down. You said chapter 7, right?
Chapter 7, page 121.
Page 121. Perfect. Thank you. All right, Katie, a lot of really good information. Is there anything else about super activities that we haven't talked about that you think our listeners would like to know?
The last thing I'll put out there is that brainstorming session about what they want to do for a super activity is probably the most important step. Put it all on the board. There's no such thing as a dumb idea, because you don't know what kind of great ideas are going to come from those young people in your groups, and you would be surprised at what young people can actually accomplish if they're motivated. So that brainstorming session, when you're trying to figure out what to do, that is key in setting up a super activity. Sky's the limit. You never know what you can come up with.
Right. I absolutely agree. Being able to offer opportunities to participate in these kind of activities is really what makes the Exploring program so cool. So, Katie, thanks for coming on Exploring Cast for this discussion.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's jump into some reminders and tips for November.
Okay, listeners, have you or anyone in your post signed up to go to the 2017 National Jamboree yet? No? Why not? You already know what a great experience it will be for them and that they'll make a ton of new friends. But maybe you all think it will be too financially or maybe physically challenging. Maybe you think the door is closed because, well, the girls in your Explorer post? Whatever the reason you think the Jamboree door has been closed, check out the July Scoutcast. They'll tell you how to grab onto that door handle and open it wide. July will be here before you know it.
Let's talk membership inventory. By now, all your new youth and adult applications from your open houses should be submitted to the Council Service Center.
It's a really good idea to compare the My Participation records to your own to make sure there are no discrepancies and that all those new folks are properly registered.
If this were video, you'd see that Christian and I are sporting our new Exploring Polo shirts.
Woo-woo.
You can get your very own Exploring Polo shirt at scoutstuff.org or your local scout shop. Professionals can also earn the polo shirt by growing the number of registered explorers over last year.
Oh, and that reminds me, let's not forget to mention the Century Club, where local council professionals of all levels can earn recognition for having grown more than 100 explorers over last year. Professionals can even nominate a volunteer. So that, sadly, brings us to the end of the November Exploring Cast. Thanks to our guest, Katie Clark, for joining us.
And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to check out exploring.org for all the Exploring program needs, and then come back next month as we talk about one of our favorite things, Exploring Awards. With that, I'm Garfield Merton.
And I'm Kristen Filatko. So, did you enjoy this Exploring Cast? Even if you didn't, please let us know.
Just send us an email to exploringcast@scouting.org or tweet to @exploringcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook and check out the Exploring YouTube channel too. We look forward to hearing from you.